three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It is amazing outside right now.
It is. It's gorgeous and cool and sunny.
It's unlike Delaware right now, isn't it?
Very much.
It's weird. I hate to even talk about it, but I remember it for some reason, but like on 9/11, when 9/11 happened, I remember I used to work on a golf course, and that it was such a beautiful day. I don't know if you remember 9/11.
I don't. I remember I was at work when it happened.
Well, I was at work too, but I just remember what a spectacular day. And today feels like a spectacular day. I hope it's event-free, obviously, but it's just really beautiful out. Low humidity, super sunny, bright, clear. Really just ready to take on the day.
Yes, and go to the beach.
And I stopped at your place, and I got some super powerful, awesome coffee. And it's just maybe that's what's making the day better.
Maybe.
Sipping
I think
this
so.
Delicious coffee has just made everything great.
A visit to Mudslinger's will make your day every day.
Well, I was going to have you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Leela. My name is Leela Arnold, and I am the manager of Mudslinger's Drive-Thru Coffee.
Are you part owner, too?
Yeah, I'm co-owner.
Okay.
So basically, my sister pays the bills, and I run it.
So without one of you doing your part, it wouldn't survive.
Exactly.
Well, then that's awesome.
Yes.
But you also don't want to be like an owner without like identifying her because you don't want to hurt any feelings. It's tough being a co-owner of anything, isn't it?
It is. It is tough. And I have to be careful because she's like, I just want to make sure I don't hurt her feelings.
What's your sister's name?
Her name is Becky Berguin.
Hey, Becky. We'll just give her a little shout out.
Hey, Becky. Just, we're sorry you're not here, but...
Does she ever work in the kiosk?
She doesn't work in the kiosk.
Okay.
She does live here part of the year. She has a house in Rehoboth, and she lives here part of the year, but she also has a place in Pittsburgh.
Nice. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for opening Mudslinger's. Second of all, I would say I didn't jump on board right away. Well, I'll give you a little reason why. You know, I love Wawa coffee. And... you know, it's always been right there. It's always been great, and it's always been convenient. So when your little kiosk popped up, I was like, that's interesting. Because don't they know that I love Wawa? That's what I thought. And then I started going through some changes in my life. One of them trying to kick sugar.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to support another business, and I'm going to go have some coffee. Without sugar and cream. And my first coffee I had, I did a podcast with Preston Shell, who owns that building. I don't even know if he may own the little kiosk that you're working in.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah, my sister owns
it. I told him, it has a little shell flair. You know, it looks a little bit like a little mini shell house.
We kind of, Becky kind of wanted that. She tried for that when we did the design.
Who built it?
Lockwood Construction built it.
All right. Well, how cool. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try to support another local business, and I'm going to try black coffee, good coffee. And I went over and tried it, and I had a cup, and I was sitting here doing a podcast with Preston, and I was like, this is a delicious cup of coffee without any cream and sugar. You know, it's easy. He claims he's a coffee connoisseur. I used to think I was a coffee connoisseur. What I really was a sweet creamer connoisseur. Because I can put enough sugar and cream in anything and make it taste good.
Make it taste good, exactly.
But when you remove that, you're left with just that coffee. Then you start understanding. It's weird, too. When I put a lot of cream and sugar in a coffee, I want the coffee as strong as possible. Because I want it to be sweet. Creamy and still tastes like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the cool things about drinking black coffee is it doesn't need to be amazingly strong. It can just be, you know, simple, the regular way you brew it. Like I was going to tell you my recipe, but it'd probably be wrong. So I'll just keep it at that. But so it's very delicious. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's a medium roast, actually. It's not a dark roast. I'm not really a big fan of dark roast, and like you said, unless it has cream and sugar, but if it's black, I prefer it to be a medium roast.
So a black, dark roast is a little more bitter.
it's a little bit more bitter.
Yeah.
And we, our coffee is certified shade grown. So it's grown in like a dapple sun environment. Mm. So it does give it kind of a smoother blend and take away that bitterness.
It's very good. But I mean, you know, and that's the crazy thing about coffee is different ways you roast it, you know, grow it, different soil, climate. I mean, it's just...
Exactly. It really is. And it's certified shade grown. It's certified organic. And it is kosher. And it is certified fair trade. So it comes from Indonesia and Central America. And then it is roasted in the United States.
Have you ever smelled roasted coffee bean roasted?
I don't, I'm not sure I have, actually.
It's not the greatest smell.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I forget who it was, but someone was roasting. They came up with the idea to roast their own coffee. And, you know, it was fun at first, but after a while, it's like, oh, the smell. I mean, and, you know, it's like when it's being roasted, you know, there's a mile radius range around the roaster that everyone can smell it. And it's not just like you just opened up a can of Folgers in the morning. It's strong. And I'm not sure it's as pleasant as we think it is.
Yeah, that happened to me in Maryland. I lived near an herb company.
Uh-oh.
And they would, when they were doing things, like you'd wake up and that's all you could smell for, like you said, miles.
Yeah.
And if it was cinnamon, that was one thing. But, you know, if it was paprika or something else, sometimes it was terrible.
What's that one spice that's in Mexican food, like taco mix? It has that smell that I just, I'll remember. I don't even know why I'm talking about that. God knows why I would remember that stupid name, but I did it. Sorry. So anyway, how did you decide to open a little coffee shop in the middle of the parking lot?
So it was my sister's idea.
Uh-huh.
She has, her best friend lives out west, and there's a company out there called Dutch Brothers. And it's this kiosk drive-through thing, and it's really, really big out west.
West as in, like, California?
California, mm-hmm. Oregon, and they hadn't, like, made it to the East Coast yet. So she originally looked at Dutch Brothers, but Dutch Brothers had a lot of rules and regulations. Ours is what we call... It's a franchise, technically, but it's a turnkey business. So you basically pay, like, all your business startup fees for getting all the permits, building the building, setting up your suppliers, purchasing your inventory, and training your staff. And then once that's all done, you're autonomous after that. So you can make your own decisions. You can, you know, add things to your menu. And Dutch Brothers is a lot stricter. So she looked at ideas for the East Coast, and she saw Mutzlinger's. And so I think Mutzlinger's is kind of just now hitting the East Coast, too. It's kind of in the Midwest. I think it's, centralized in Minnesota, but I hope I'm not saying that wrong. Maybe Michigan.
It starts with an M.
Yeah, starts with an M. Yeah, so that's how she got the idea, and because her best friend said, oh, my gosh, you know, you need something like that in Rehoboth. So they help you pick a location. So you really only need a really small amount of space, usually 4 or 5 parking spaces. I think picking the location in Rehoboth was a little bit harder because there's a lot of regulations as far as, like, the outlets, and you can't have stores in front of them, and there's just some more regulations than there would be.
Oh, you mean, like, as in putting one in the outlets?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to put one in the parking lot, you can't be in front of another building and things like that. So there were regulations, so it kind of limited what our choices were, but we found... we found the location, and we're actually really excited about the location. The only thing is Wawa is, you know, right around the corner. So
they're a big coffee source.
They are a big coffee source, but I think our clientele is a little bit different. And we are getting a lot of wah-wah people who are saying that our coffee is better. So, and our prices are a lot lower than Starbucks.
Well, you're definitely lower than Starbucks. You're more than Wawa, though. So you're right in the middle.
Yeah, we are more than Wawa.
But that's fine because it's good coffee.
It is good coffee. And
and Wawa's not cheap. You know, Wawa's sneaky. They are, you know, and I got to, you know, no disrespect to Wawa because they are, I love Wawa. We live right by the Wawa. We go to Wawa every day. So we love Wawa. But, you know, Wawa does some interesting tactics, you know, like they'll sell coffee and then all of a sudden for the month it's free. And then when you start paying, it's gone up a nickel. Mm-hmm. So you get the, you know, you're not completely bent over, but you're bent over while they brush the hair out of your eyes. You know, it's like, it's a give and take. And so, I mean, Wawa's creeping up there. I mean, for a small or medium coffee, it's probably $1.75. So you're probably, what, 50 cents off? I mean, what's a $2.25
Our small is $1.75, our medium's $2, and our large is $2.50.
Yeah, so you're, what, a quarter difference? So,
yeah.
And you know what else I like? First of all, I need to say cumin because that's what the herb. Yes,
the herb,
cumin.
Yeah. Oh, and the smell of that is really strong.
I cannot stand the smell of cumin. I had to say that because it came to me while you were talking.
Yes.
Second of all, I used to. It's funny because the West, you know, the West is crazy. They do everything out there in the West. My parents had a house in San Diego, and when I first moved there, I went to work for this guy who had. You remember Fox Photo Booths?
I do.
So he had turned all the Fox photos into a thing called Fast Keys. And it was a kiosk, just like Mudslingers. Every time I pull up to Mudslingers, I flash back to the time that I worked in the kiosk. But people would pull up to the window, and we would duplicate keys.
Oh, wow.
And we also did engraving for trophies and plates and awards and license plate frames. It was a... you did everything in there. I call it a little tweaker room. I mean, there's like grinders and etchers and key engravers, and it was just crazy. And I had that job for a year. I loved it. I just sat out in the parking lot in Del Mar and made keys and all that stuff. So, but that's, you know, that's the West for you. I mean, they'll try anything, and it's fun to see like a little idea like that end up back over here on the East Coast. But the third of all is, you know, it's a great idea. You know, a little drive-through to pick up a coffee, and you also do other things in there, smoothies.
Smoothies, we have really, really good smoothies. We use a blend called Dr. Smoothie that's 100% fruit and vegetables, no sugar, organic. Really, they're so delicious, and there's like 9 different flavors. We have specialty coffees. We have a specialty drink called the Mudslinger, which is espresso, chocolate, and caramel. It's kind of like a Cadbury bar in a in
my
a
sugar
drink.
Muscle just flexed.
Ooh. I know. And then we have frappes. We have some snacks. We have Kind bars and instant oatmeal and chocolate covered espresso beans. Snacks we're gonna look into more once we get a little more established because most of that has a pretty short shelf life, so you can end up having to throw it away.
Well, if I understood it correctly, so once you've built this little place and you've followed Mudslinger's kind of guidelines, after you've done that, you kind of can do what you want.
Exactly.
So you could almost make your own soup in there and sell soup.
Absolutely. I mean, you would probably have some health department issues, I guess, if you wanted to do that. But yeah, you're totally autonomous. So.
Or you could also do. I mean, you could make regular oatmeal.
Yeah, you could make regular oatmeal.
I have an Instapot. Instapots are. Do you have an Instapot?
I don't have an.
Oh my god. Instapots are the shit. I love it. I mean, I made potatoes and corn. I put all the potatoes in there. I stacked the corn on top. I shut the lid, pressure cooked it. The potatoes came out, turned them into mashed potatoes. The corn was perfect. I'm like, you could do oatmeal in this.
Yeah, you probably could do oatmeal.
Scoop oatmeal in there. Some raisins.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking at some ideas with food. But again, I kind of want to get a little more established.
Yeah, and don't pay any attention to me.
Yeah, and have more business. But yeah, Kind bars are really popular. Everybody loves Kind bars. And and oatmeal. It's kind of a good thing to just, on your way to work, just grab a cup of oatmeal and
I love oatmeal.
A cup of coffee.
I had to break up with oatmeal. I had to break up with it. Me and oatmeal went way back. I had to say goodbye.
Why?
It's delicious. Well, you know, so what do they say? You know, have a nice cup of oatmeal for breakfast. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. So my oatmeal is like a half a tub with blueberries, honey. I mean, it's probably, it would feed a small village. That's how much oatmeal I had to.
I know.
And then I'm off the res. I've gone crazy with the oatmeal. So I had to cut back on it. It's so good.
Oh, it's so good. Especially, like, I'm bad with oatmeal because I like it with milk and tons of brown sugar.
Mm.
I mean,
yes.
Tons.
Do you like steel cut?
I do like steel cut.
God, that's good, too.
Yeah.
If it's some sort of oat and it's heating it up, I love it.
I love the smell of it, too.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm actually trying to, and we're not going to make this podcast about food, but I'm having to try to stay away from oatmeals and stuff and try to eat more like eggs and a little more protein. It breaks down easier for me. I don't seem to carry it as long.
Not, keto? Like, are you on a keto
no,
diet?
I'm not.
No.
But, you know, sometimes if I eat oatmeal and then a few other things, my stomach just gets so full that I just feel uncomfortable. So
yeah.
I'm blaming it on oatmeal. I've removed oatmeal from my life.
Yeah.
For a couple days.
I try to stay away from gluten, too. Sometimes it gives me a stomach ache.
Yeah. So, how long have you been open? It's been, what, a few months now?
We've been open since December 12th.
December 12th?
Yep.
Wow.
Everything really took longer than we expected. So we kind of were hoping we were going to open last summer, but I'm really glad, actually. Becky and I are both really glad that we didn't because it gave us, you know, time to get everything figured out. So we opened December, and it was pretty slow to start, but it's getting better every day.
Have you walked the halls of the building next door and shook hands and kissed all the babies and poured brown coffee in everyone's mouth?
I have. Yeah, and that's what we did at first. We just made samples, and we took them to all of the businesses around us, anything that we could think of. I love to chat with the guy who owns the beef jerky place.
I've tried to get him on the podcast. I can't. I just haven't been able to. I've gone over there. I've talked to the girl that works there. I think her name is Leslie.
Yeah, and, Leslie.
She goes, "Well, I got to give it to you. You're persistent." And I'm like, "Well, I want to see if. I mean, every time I come in here, there's nobody in here. So, I mean, I would like to see if we can maybe people don't all know about the beef jerky outlet, you know, or the different things that you have here in the beef jerky outlet, like sauces and candy and all sorts of different stuff. Mm-hmm. So
they do have a lot of stuff.
I've gave them my car, but I haven't heard anything. And I don't want to be annoying, begging, please.
And then Urban Float, Carlos.
I just got off the phone with Carlos.
He's great.
He's very cool.
Oh, he's so cool. And his wife is really cool. And they are their big customers. And he's so generous because before they opened, he gave us his credit card and he gave me a list of all these people that were on, like, the construction crew or doing this or that.
Wait a minute, he gave you his credit card?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's another level of cool right there.
Did he say
to use it?
Yeah.
Hey-o.
He said, these are the people who are allowed to come and buy coffee or whatever they want, and you just charge it to my credit card. So, he's a super nice guy.
I love that guy. In fact, I was just on the phone with him because we've become friends, but we're also huge Pearl Jam fans. And if you see him, you can call him Over 50. That's his Pearl Jam nickname, Over 50, because he's been to over 50 shows.
Wow.
And I'm just 9. And but, you know, I had talked to him last week. He was headed out to Seattle, and he was coming back, and we were going to do a podcast. And he's sick this week, but I'm going to talk to him on Friday. But my wife goes, it smells like a bromance to me. I go, it is. I like the guy. He's super cool. You know, and he's got
super
a great story.
Super cute, too.
I don't know about that. But. Were you talking about me or him?
Well, both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I got to get him when I can. But, yeah, I love Carlos. And, you know, he's got that same, you know, that attitude, you know, who, you know, help others. You know, and I love that. Cooperation over competition.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's funny because another girl was on here and she talked about owning, you know, she owns a gym and another gym that was opening and, you know, that natural fear. Oh, God, you know, there goes some clients or, you know, our gym's not good enough to compete. And I said, you know, why don't you reach out to that gym and say, hey, if I can help you, if you need anything, just don't hesitate to call, you know, cooperation over competition. But that's not what I said when I said that to her. I said what I said, but I didn't use that last term. And then a couple of days later, heard that term, cooperation over competition. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of serendipity. You know, you think one thing, and then you actually hear it's kind of going on. And these other folks that opened a hotel, you know, they did the same thing. They reached out to all the hotels around just to say hello, you know, just to say that, you know, if I can help in any way, just putting their hand out, it's easier, softer way, you know.
Absolutely.
And I guess Wawa is your only really coffee competition, but, you know.
Starbucks a little bit, but I think that if you like our coffee, Starbucks just has more of a bitter taste, and a lot of people go for that taste. I don't really like that taste. My daughter does, though. She's like, I like Starbucks coffee. I said, that's fine. You know, everybody likes what they like. So
I think people like Starbucks just because of hanging out.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. And they have, you know, free Wi-Fi.
Because I've gone to Starbucks and I like Starbucks, but I like Starbucks more than I like their coffee.
Yeah.
I like hanging out. You see people, hey, what's up? You know, it's more of a social event.
Yeah.
I think it's expensive.
It is. I think it's expensive. They're kind of getting some bad PR right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I stopped going. Well, I used to eat. We used to get a sausage, egg, and cheese from there, and I'm not eating any of that processed food anymore.
Yeah.
I can make better food.
Yeah.
That's no disrespect to them. I just haven't been in. I talked to the guy from Rise Up Coffee, and he's a nice guy. But that's not really competition. They're down in Rehoboth. And, you know, it's hard to like, be, you know, oh, you know, supportive. And at the same time, you know, you want to survive, you know. So,
absolutely.
But they, you know, I went by there and there was a line out the door into the street. And I don't think that's because, I don't know what it was what caused it. But I think they're going to have to address, you know, the process of checking people through.
Yeah, there's a lot of bugs you kind of got to get worked out. How to get customers waited on faster, and they also serve beer, I believe.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do. I think they serve draft beer, and they have a great location, and they're right in Rehoboth, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It's great. You know, they'll have success in the summer. Well, you know. The winter's where the challenge will become, you know. I mean, it's just far enough. And I had their coffee, and it is good. It was delicious. You know, I like to spread out the wealth a little bit and try everything, but I won't go down there in the summer. It's too...
Too crazy.
Well, the line out the door, I mean, and I've gone down there, and just in the small little line I was in, it was... But like you said, they're working it out, and the guy's great. I mean, his name's Matt, and he's a super nice guy. And he was going to come on the podcast, but he had to kind of cancel because I think he just needed to focus on being at work and just making sure that they shook out any of the bugs. But he's a great guy. He'll be on the podcast, I'm sure, one day.
Because sometimes growing too fast is, you know, that can be a downfall for a business.
Speaking for me, I know that if I go to a business and I have to wait, I tend to check out. I'm like, I'm done. You know, if it's messy, I'll be like, yeah. I'll always say, hey, look, I know it's noon. You know, they're working out the kinks and stuff. But, you know, you're right. It's tough. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful.
It can be. Yeah, I worry about that with us because speed is kind of... really super important to us and to me. So I'm always like trying to figure out ways to, you know, if they order this, if you make this first while you're doing that, you can make this. And just trying to streamline it and make it faster. On Memorial Day, we had more business. We had a lot of business, and we had lines at both the drive-through and the walk-up window. And we had two people, and it's a small space. It's less than 100 square feet, and it has a bathroom in the back, so it kind of gives you an idea of how small it is. So it really kind of was an art dance trying to figure out how
the worst part is someone could, a minimalist could probably turn that into a house.
I know. I know.
Three bunk beds, you know, stack them up.
Well, it's so
funny.
That's
all we need.
So funny that you said that, because I used to say, oh, I could live in one of those tiny little houses. I remember when those kind of became big, and then when we built this kiosk, I was like, oh, my God, I could never live in one of those.
Well, I think that would be a little bit small, but yes,
I
get that way sometimes. I just want to throw everything away and live in a trunk.
Yeah.
And not care about anything, but it's, you know, that lasts for about 5 minutes.
I used to, like, kind of collect things, and now I don't. Like, now every month I go through my house and I get rid of what's that one woman say? She's on a show and she says, if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it away. So I'm kind of,
well,
like,
that's
that.
I think the challenge, though, will it bring me joy later?
Well, I know, and I met this girl, and she said, you know, I have so many clothes, and she said, I was looking through all my clothes, and she's like, yes, it brings me joy. Yes, this brings me joy. I ended up not throwing anything away.
Right.
So, I'm kind of the same. I'm a minimalist. You know, when my mom died, she had so much stuff, and it took us so long to go through all her stuff, and I don't want my kids to have to deal with that.
I think that generation, like my mother, you know, they didn't have anything. It's growing up. My mom, like my mom, she does this weird thing where, like, when we eat, she makes a huge plate of food, but she never eats it. She just eats a little bit. And I said, why do you do that? Why do you make such a big plate of food? Well, I don't know. When I was little, we just didn't have any food. So I think it's just like, I just want to make sure I get food. And so I think that that's kind of the challenge with that older generation, is they didn't have anything. So when they get stuff, they don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that last night. You know, back in the old days, they used to make things to last. You know, where now... And the reason I was thinking about this, I was laying in bed, we'd gone to bed, and we have a little fan that runs in the bedroom, and it's going, I'm like, is that thing going to catch on fire? I'm going to have to throw that thing away and buy a new fan. And then I started thinking, how many fans have I had in my lifetime? And then I came up with the number of 19. I've had 19 fans in my life.
I can't believe you were able to figure out how many fans you
Listen,
had.
I'm just going with 19. I'm not sure if that's a dead fact, but I know that I've had a lot of fans. And you know what? It's funny, you mentioned this when I saw you over at Mutzinger's. You said you didn't get a good night's sleep. I didn't either. I wonder if something was going on last night, like the planets.
You know, my sister told me she didn't get a good night's sleep. I didn't get a good night's sleep because I had to take my dog to the emergency room in the middle of the night.
But, oh, well, that's a problem.
But, yeah, my sister said she didn't sleep well.
I did not sleep. I could not fall asleep. My wife could not fall asleep. She usually is like that, and she's like, she was flopping all around. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, I don't know. I go, are you okay? I don't know. It was weird. The planets lined up something.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I always wonder that, too. Like, is it something with the gravitational pull or, you know, that makes
it? Well, full moons will do that. Full moons will stir it up. But, yeah, it was so. But, so I was laying in bed, and that's how I got into this thinking about, you know, back in the day, you maybe bought one fan, and that fan lasted you, you know. You probably threw that fan away when your mom had kept it for, you know, 80 years.
Right.
You know, it probably fired right back up, you know.
That's funny that you said that, too, because she had a fan that had, like, a grid on it, but it, like, the grids were, like,
the kind that you pull over the floor heaters?
Sort of. The kind that you could literally stick your hand right in and get your fingers chopped off.
And the blades were, you know, steel.
Yeah.
It was basically one step away from being a meat slicer.
Exactly.
One angle away from being a meat slicer.
Exactly.
That's so funny. But I tell you what, I bet that thing moves some air.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're right. Everything these days is kind of a throwaway item. I had this guy that I dated for years and years, and that's what he said. I'd say, you know, this is broken. I need to get it repaired. And he's like, no, that's a throwaway item.
Right.
Because you're going to spend as much to repair it as you are to buy a new one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and there's probably no one that fixes them.
It's true. There aren't really any, like,
fan repairmen
shops. Yeah, that you can just drop your fan on. Yeah, I mean,
they just did. Those guys kind of dropped off the face of the earth. There was a guy that used to repair vacuums. I think vacuums still have a little shelf life to them, where they're worth repairing.
Repair place right by where I live, actually.
Yeah, there was one out towards Millsboro that we used to go to when I was working over at Baywood. Yeah, but so that's why we end up with all this trash and plastic and garbage and, mm-hmm. you know, people just throw stuff away. We just burn through stuff. We just don't even care. We're not even really thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a wasteful society, that's for sure.
How are we going to fix that, Layla?
I don't know how we're going to fix that. We need more recycle people in Rehoboth.
More recycle people in Rehoboth.
I think
we need to lower the recycle standards. It's very, very, you know, it's hard to pass a recyclable off. You know, it's got to be cleaned, buffed, rinsed, flushed, clear.
It has different numbers, and you have to know what the numbers mean. And yeah, it's funny.
Pizza box. You'd think a pizza box would be a perfect candidate for being recycled. But no, if there's
it's
any.
Not?
No, it's got pizza grease in it. In the box, it's saturated. Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know that.
It's stupid.
I don't eat pizza though, so it is stupid.
Well, that was our next topic. Who has the best pizza in Rehoboth? I want to start some pizza trouble.
Pizza trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I had Tim Guvis on. I don't know if you know Tim. He owns Louie's.
No, I don't know him.
Louie's pizza is straight from heaven.
Yeah, I've heard it's really great,
but it's got its issues. You know, they use all that natural cheese and all those great ingredients, and it can be a little oily. You have to pour and dip and dab. Pour, dip, and dab, and then enjoy.
That's the only way I can eat pizza is if I have ranch dressing to
No,
dip
I mean,
it
you
in.
Have to pour the grease off, and then you have to dip your napkin into it, and then dab off all the oil.
I gotcha.
We haven't even talked about condiments. Ranch dressing is delicious.
It is delicious.
What about blue cheese?
Ugh, no.
Okay. All right, let's not go there. Mm-mm. But, you know, so, and now you've just notified me you don't even eat pizza.
I don't eat pizza. Only if it has ranch dressing. I don't like Italian food very much.
Ooh.
I don't like tomato sauce. I like tomatoes.
Right.
But I don't like tomato sauce. So, like, if I have
Is it too acidic? Does it bother you?
I don't know why I don't like it. So if I have, like, pasta, I eat it with butter and garlic. I just don't like tomato sauce.
That's okay. I get that. I mean, they make white pizza.
Mm.
No.
I don't like
they
that.
They make the pizza without tomato sauce.
Yeah. What
you
is
don't
it?
Like that
it's just cheese?
Well, I think they do like, I mean, they call it white pizza, but I think they do like a cheese with a pesto. I think they, instead of sauce, they do thin sliced tomatoes all over it. So the slate
that sounds kind of good
with basil and globs of like as my wife says mozzarella what did she say mozzarella yeah mozzarella I don't know she says it funny she's from
I
New York
I do like that when like mozzarella. Sliced tomatoes with basil and mozzarella
yeah
I love that but I don't. It's so weird because I like tomatoes. I just don't like tomato sauce.
Well, I'm Italian, but I'm also adopted, so I think I'm fake Italian. But I'll go with it. And I do love Italian food. It is good. I know that I love lasagna. My dad was Italian. He loved making Italian food. My wife's sister, Kimberly. Hey, Kim. She's an amazing chef, and she cooks some amazing Italian food. But, you know, like not your standard issue Italian, like hats. I'm like, what are hats? They're like this pasta that it's like a disc with the center that's been pushed up and it looks like a hat. And the center, the disc is so that holds the sauce.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They're so good. And she makes sausage and peppers. And it's just, you know, like right out of Godfather.
Sausage and peppers. That sounds delicious. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, she's a terrific. Maybe one day they'll move down here. Maybe we can get her to open a restaurant. But, you know, that's for a whole other podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, opened in December. What month is it? June?
Yep.
Success?
Happy?
Happy. Could have done better?
No, I guess...
I think you guys are doing great.
I don't think we could have done better. I think it takes a while, especially if you're not like right in the heart of Rehoboth Beach. I think that that's a lot of why the other coffee shop is so successful, because you have so many people staying there who can walk there. Very happy. I have a wonderful staff. I have three employees who work for us, and they
are... I've met a few of them. They're all super nice.
They're all so nice.
I love Susie.
And she's the best. And
I've known her 22 years.
Really? It's so funny that you said that, because when I hired her, she was one of the last ones I hired, actually. I'm friends with all of them, and a couple of my other friends said, don't hire friends, but I want to hire people that I trust. And so when I hired her, it was crazy, because like everybody would come up to the window, she'd be like, oh, you know, I haven't seen you in a really long time. How's your mom, and how's your son? And like after about 3 hours of every customer who came to the window, she was asking those kind of questions. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know everybody in this town. She really does. She knows.
Well, I think
many
if you
people.
Live a decent life, and I think she does. You know, her and I know each other from a lifestyle change, which we both benefit from today. But when you live a decent life, and you're trying to be a better person, and you know, your hand's always out to help anybody that needs it, you tend to build a big arsenal of friends. I mean, that's kind of it's weird, but and plus this town has something to do with it as well. But sometimes I feel the same way. My wife goes, "Hey, you think you know everybody?" It's like, well, yeah. We're just all friends.
Yeah, she. Same thing. I had a lifestyle change, and that's kind of how I met her. And she's great. And then I have two other women.
Lifestyle change. I had no life. I got a life.
All of my employees are older women. And I went a couple different places, and somebody said, when are you going to hire women in bikinis? Apparently, they do that out west, too. They hire these really pretty young women, and they dress them in bikinis.
I think that's called boob slingers. I swear, men are so lame.
I was like, I won't be hiring young women and dressing them in bikinis. You know,
first of all, it's disrespectful to women.
It is. It is, and I don't.
It's
really
one thing
want...
when a creepy guy does it, but it's another thing when another woman does that. I think.
Yeah.
No woman would stand for that.
Yeah, I know my sister absolutely wouldn't stand for that, but. When I was 15, I worked at a gas station in Pittsburgh, and there were like gas stations like on both sides of the road, and our gas was more expensive, but that's what he did. He hired all women in the summer, and we were dressing, you know, little short shorts and bikini tops, and we would have a line all the time, even though they were like 3 cents cheaper across the road. So
were guys creepy back then?
Oh, yeah.
So creepy men is nothing new.
I was going to say guys are still creepy.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, was it as bad back then?
It was bad, yeah. Absolutely. I know, and I know my parents just, like, were cringing every night when they saw me.
Well, it's funny because this weekend we had to go to the outlets, and Hooters had two girls standing out on on Route 1 with a sign. And... you know, I didn't really think it was a great idea. I know that's Hooters stick, you know, the girls, but I thought it was a little tasteless.
You know, I think Hooters is kind of starting to lose that. Excuse me. I think people are, kind of realizing that that's not really acceptable anymore. It's a different time, you know?
Well, I think that if you're in Hooters and people see you, they know you're like a...
Yeah, they kind of think, oh, he's a dog. I didn't
yeah,
know
he's here
he was
just
a
for
dog.
The boobs. I'm here for the boobs. I'm just going to sit down and look at boobs and butts.
Yeah, because, like, speaking of a different time, Pittsburgh, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I worked at this place called Buyer's Mart, and it was like this big warehouse, and we sold bikes and appliances and all kinds of stuff. And it was in the Strip District, and it really was the Strip District. It was, you know, all strip clubs and peep shows and crazy, and you just don't see that really anymore in Pittsburgh. Now it's, you know, they've turned it into a beautiful part of town. It's not seen.
Well,
like
that's because we have the internet.
That's true. You can always go to the internet.
The internet's got everything.
Yep.
Peep shows are a thing of the past.
Yeah. Yeah, internet porn, I guess. That's, yeah. That's a new thing, and you don't have to leave your house, and you don't have to worry about people seeing you. And
I think that was probably wasn't a bad thing that people actually had to, you know, slither over to one of those places and kind of maneuver in and worry about, like, who sees you. And, you know, I think it was nice to have that buffer.
Yeah.
But now that I think some people are just... They're just having a heyday with that
online
porn.
They say it's kind of a new addiction.
It isn't new.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
People have been struggling with that forever.
Yeah.
Some version of it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you know, we used Cosmopolitan, you know. That was 80s porn.
Yeah.
The Cosmopolitan magazine, and it was pretty risque, and you'd be like, oh, my God.
Playboy's still around, right?
Yeah. For the articles.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely,
it's,
for the articles.
I won't go into it too bad, but I grew up, my dad was in the military. We were a military family, and my buddy and I, when we were kids, and I can't remember the age, but I know we were little, we lived on base, and we would go, and I don't even know how this started, honestly, but we would end up in dumpsters over by the BOQs, because all the pilots and stuff would stay at the BOQs. They would just travel and come through the base, and we would find Playboys, and we would stash them. And,
oh, I bet.
Oh, my God. It was like a gold mine. Oh, coming out of the dumpster with that hand up like an old movie. Da, da, da.
Gold.
Yeah, so I'm sure Playboy's around.
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny. How'd we get on porn and not coffee?
I don't know.
This coffee's like coffee porn.
Yeah.
So one thing I like about your coffee, and I had never tried it, is those... the flavored pumps. Like, I used to just go and get this hazelnut cream for my coffee and pour it all in there. And, you know, when I'm trying not to have cream and I'm trying not to have sugar, that kind of eliminated that. So you guys offer this, the pumps of hazelnut, you know, and it's sugar-free. And I'm not a big fan of that, but I had asked, you know, she put the sugar-free in this morning with a little bit of cream, and it's good.
It is. We use all Monin syrups.
What's it called? Monin?
Monin, M-O-N-I-N.
Okay.
And the sugar-frees are aspartame-free. And then
So is it like stevia?
Yes. It's
stevia?
It's along the... Stevia, I think.
Stevia.
Yeah, along the lines of stevia. And then our non-sugar-free Monin syrups are made with pure cane sugar. They're vegan. They're GMO-free. They don't have any artificial flavors or colors. So Monin makes wonderful syrups. And I had a guy a couple weeks ago, and he said, oh, my gosh, he said, I Googled coffee shops that used Monin syrups, because he specifically used sugar-free Monin syrups. And he came, they were here for a weekend, and I bet they came 7 times.
Wow.
And he was just so happy.
He was moaning for that syrup.
Yes, he was moaning for the Monins.
Hey now.
Yeah, so it is. It's really good syrup, and it's really high quality. And
well, I do like it, and I've been enjoying. It's nice to have, you know, you guys down there, because I like I said, I just live right up the street. Any plans for like another one? Oh, actually, let me change that question. How did you just decide to cut a hole in the concrete over there? I mean, that's, I mean, how, who do you talk to? Did you have to talk to, like, Ocean Atlantic?
Oh, my gosh. It was, it really was an unbelievably tedious process. But we had a woman that we worked with, April, who is from corporate, Mutzlinger's corporate, and she's the one who did all of that. She did, got all of the permits. She did everything with the fire marshal. I had a lot of running around because I had to take plans here, and it just, the process was really...
Was it touch and go for a while? I mean, did you think you might not get it?
Oh, absolutely. Especially my sister. I think she really was getting frustrated because it just took... I mean, it was honestly probably almost 2 years from the time that we that she decided she was going to do it until the time that we actually opened.
Well, and I'm, you know, I'm always interested because I don't think... I can't think of another kiosk in a parking lot anywhere in Rehoboth.
Yeah, there really isn't, and that, and like I said, that was a lot of it. Picking the location, trying to negotiate the lease.
Was there places that they just said absolutely not? Because to me, it seems like that would be a great spot in that Walmart parking lot.
There were places that said absolutely not, and again, it's because you can't be in front of other businesses. So,
and so where you're at, you're on the side.
We're kind of in the middle. So what's behind us is that it's a housing development behind us. So it's not a shop that we're.
So that wouldn't work. So you couldn't do it in the outlets. You couldn't do it, I guess, in front of Walmart, because you're kind of that whole L shape of all the retail and then all the fast food, so that wouldn't work. That almost was almost like the most unique spot to be able to do it.
I know. My sister just, she really loved that spot. I kind of, there was another spot that I thought would be a good spot, which was where the Kmart is. But they were doing, at the time, they were doing all this construction, and we didn't really, we weren't 100% sure what was happening with that. They were building that store and that.
They were splitting up Kmart.
Yeah, they were splitting it up.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, it was. And that store is like crack for me. If I
Kmart
there,
or all that?
All that.
All that crack?
I cannot go in there and not spend money, so I stay away. Stay away from that store.
I've been in there. You can only buy so many electrified fly swatters.
Yeah, that's true. But we wanted to be northbound. We wanted to be on the northbound side. Starbucks is on the southbound side. You know, we didn't want to be too close to Starbucks, and we didn't want to be too close to Dunkin' Donuts. And so, you know, there was a lot of factors that came into deciding the location. And I would love the idea of another kiosk, but I think that's down the road. We need to kind of make sure that this one is successful.
To me, the Kmart spot would have been really nice.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole, like, you know, it's funny. Like, I know this because I live on that side, you know, but there's like a whole highway behind the highway. You know, it's like a through Giant, through Kmart, you know.
Right.
It's all these, like, little slight cut-throughs and everywhere. But, you know... Like we, you know, I meet my ex-wife every couple of weeks at in front of Chick-fil-A. So would Chick-fil-A have been an issue, or would you have just to move over?
See, I'm not 100% sure because I really wasn't that involved in the location part of it. My sister and April handled most of that, so I'm not exactly sure. April basically presented a few possible spots. But then again, you know, it was trying to negotiate a lease that was reasonable, and so there were just so many factors involved in that that they had to deal with. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't have to be the one who had to pick the location, that I just have to run
it. Well, that allows you to go. I wouldn't have done that, but it's
right.
Fine. That wouldn't have been my choice, but you know, right. You know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Is that what sisters
but
do?
But then I say, yeah, I think that is what sisters do.
I told you.
She and I get along so well, though. And
give it a year.
We get along better now that we work together. But her friend told her, don't you dare hire your sister to run it. But I think, you know, well, first of all, I think that working with family really can be tough. But it's
greed
like,
is tough. Greed.
It is.
That's the tough part.
Yeah.
Family, you know, it's all everybody's great until greed steps in.
Yeah.
And ego, pride, greed, all that, you know, it's why it's a deadly sin. You know, it kills. It can kill family.
Yeah. But that's the thing about my sister. She's super, super generous. And she, it's not like we opened a design company or something where right, like, yeah. You know, I like those mauve curtains. Well, I don't, you know, there's no taste that comes into it, you know?
Well, it's I think you, you have to pick and decide your roles.
Exactly.
And play the role.
Exactly.
And as long as, listen to me trying to give you some sort of advice. I don't know shit about business. I know, keep the bathrooms clean. That's my, when you have a hair salon, make sure the bathrooms are clean.
Absolutely.
Women hate a dirty bathroom.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, transparent, you know, and I guess if you guys put it all out there and, you know, you seem to be doing fine. And I'm not going to pretend. I remember this place next door was struggling, this restaurant, and my buddy Matt, I don't know if you ever knew Matt Haley, but I told him, I said, I know what they need to do. You know, they need to do breakfast. You know, and we'll make sandwiches. We'll cut each sandwich in half. We'll wrap it in foil. And we'll stand on the corner. And we'll give each person that drives by a sandwich and a cup of coffee. And he goes, do you know anything about a restaurant? I go, no. He goes, have you ever owned a restaurant? I said, no. Have you ever made breakfast? I said, no. And he goes, you should just shut the fuck up. I said, okay. I'll go shut up. But, you know. It's easy to put out a bunch of ideas, but I know, I think greed is where, you know, family's fine. It's when, you know, it usually has something to do with money. Someone's working harder than the other person and someone's not making enough money.
Yeah. And we really haven't encountered that at all. I'm pretty sure she's pretty glad that she hired me. I have a really good work ethic and,
Well, and you have a good product.
And we do. We have a good product, a product that we believe in. And I think that that makes a huge difference. You have to have a product that you believe in. It was funny because we did get one customer who came up and said, you know, somebody told me they didn't like your coffee. And I was working that day. And probably 10 people had come through that day and said, oh, you know, your coffee is the best. We love it so much. We don't go anywhere else. And then she told me that one customer didn't like the coffee. I could not focus on
right,
anything
exactly.
else for the rest of the day. I was like,
can I get a name, please? Right. I'm going to call them. Maybe they didn't get a good cup.
I know. So,
And you know, it's funny, but coffee is very personal. It's
absolutely.
Very, it is. It absolutely starts my day. You know, obviously my eyes have to open and I have to walk around and do stuff. But when I get up, it's about making coffee. And I make coffee at home. And I have to have coffee as soon as I get up. I mean, I don't have to. I like to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's personal. You know, and if there's nothing worse than a crappy cup of coffee, especially when you're a coffee addict like I am, you know, it's important.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's important.
I don't drink energy drinks. I don't drink, you know, daily or, those little energy syrups. I don't drink any. I'm not a caffeine addict. I like coffee.
Yeah, me too.
I like sitting down with my wife and we chat and it's very important to us. So to get someone to switch or to try something different is always tough and they're always going to get an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just smile and just say, you know, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I went there for years just because she was nice to me. And then I acquired a taste for the coffee.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll happen too because our staff is really friendly. All the women are great and they're really great at talking to the staff. And, you know, and explaining things that, because sometimes they come up and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know what to get. And
well, that was a question. Do you just do basically a regular coffee and then a decaf, or do you have like a dark roast or a breakfast blend or whatever the hell they have out there?
Yeah, so we have regular medium roast coffee that we brew and medium roast decaf that we brew. And then most of the rest of our specialty drinks are espresso. They're all made with espresso, and our espresso is a dark roast. So if somebody comes in and says, I like a dark roast, then I usually will say, well, you should do a shot in the dark, because that's a cup of coffee with a shot of espresso.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we have one guy who comes in, he gets a small, he gets coffee with four shots of espresso. Wow. Which is like five cups of coffee.
It's
in
like
one.
My buddy Scott. I don't think he would take four, but he loves that espresso stuff.
Yeah. And our espresso's amazing too. So,
now espresso. So for the people that aren't professional coffee drinkers, is espresso just like a shot of coffee or espresso into foamed milk?
Yeah, into steam milk.
Steam milk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. And then, do you blend that? I have no idea. Like, I used to get a caramel macchiato. I don't even know what that was.
Caramel macchiato. Macchiato. That's a really popular one. Yeah, it's, so a 12-ounce is one shot, 16-ounce is two shots, 20-ounce is three shots. So if you get a 20-ounce caramel macchiato, you're getting three shots of espresso, which is like three cups of coffee.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Caffeine-wise. And then caramel, vanilla... steam milk.
Do you have a calorie number on that?
You know, I don't have a calorie number on that.
Thank God. Maybe I'll have one then.
Oh, they are so delicious.
They are good.
Yeah, they really are good.
But I'm leaving that behind, Layla. I'm done with the sugary, sweet, delicious coffees. You want to do a top five? How do you drink your coffee?
I drink it with cream and sugar.
You want to do a top five reasons why you like cream and sugar?
I'll
do the top five of why I like it black. Number five.
Number five.
You can make this up as
smoother.
We go. Oh, okay, smoother. So my number five is, it's just cool. This is for black coffee. Black. Number four.
Number four is, it's not boring.
Okay, not boring. My number four is... cool. No, I'm gonna go. No, so number four, my number four reason why I'm drinking coffee black is because of the earthy taste of the coffee. I really had never experienced that unless I just didn't put enough cream in. I always fought that. So now that I'm experiencing it, I'm learning to enjoy the earthy notes of the coffee. Number four. Number three. Layla.
Number three, Leela.
Leela. Let's try to be a little more exciting. Let's find some a little more adventurous. We've gone from smooth
to not boring.
Not boring. Number three. You're trying to sell people on cream and sugar.
Three.
Bringing them on board.
Tastes like coffee ice cream.
That's very good. All right, number three. For drinking black coffee, my number three reason is... I enjoy the battle between drinking something that I love and drinking something that tastes like shit. Number three.
Okay.
Number three. Number two. The top five reasons why you drink cream and sugar.
I have a sweet tooth.
Ah, the old sweet tooth, the demon. Yep. Well, I had it. I have it too. So number two reason why I drink black coffee. I don't know. But you know why? Because I love coffee. And now, moving past number three into number two, I'm learning that I'm starting to crave some of these notes and flavors that I'm finding in coffee. And I will say that Mudslinger's coffee, black, has almost the notes that I get when I drink the coffee, it almost has a sweet flavor to me. Like, it doesn't feel far... Like, sometimes I'll drink a black coffee and I'm going, this is so far from sweet that I can't even tell you what it is. But your coffee is like, it wouldn't take much to just make it sweet. It has almost like a sweet flavor to it.
It does. But, you know, I like black coffee sometimes, too. I go through spells where I'll drink it with cream and sugar.
Well, you should have told me that. We could have done a top five reasons why we like black coffee together.
I can't, like, I can either drink it with cream and sugar or I can drink it black. I can't drink it black with sugar and I can't drink it black with just cream.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, I had her put a little of the sugar-free stuff in here and the cream, and I'm not disappointed, but I was looking forward to the black coffee. That's why I went to Mudslinger's to get some black coffee, and she talked me into some sweetener and creamer, and now I miss it. The number one reason you drink coffee with cream and sugar is?
I'm supporting the dairy.
Supporting dairy. You know what? That's important. Helping others.
Helping others, exactly.
My number one reason that I drink black coffee and I enjoy drinking black coffee is it's always hot.
That's true.
It is always hot.
That's true. That's really true.
I had some black coffee the other day, and then we went to the outlets, and it would clearly have been cooled and almost like a lukewarm beverage by that time, and it was still, I had to sip it. And it was still hot.
That's so funny that you said that, because I worry about that. Like, is it going to be hot enough if they say, you know, I want coffee and I want a lot of cream? I'm like, oh, my gosh, is it going to be hot?
Well, it's
enough?
A whole different mindset when you're using cream and sugar, because you want hot, you know, like, is this fresh? Is it hot? Because I'm going to dump a bunch of cool cream in it and I'm going to, you know, kill the heat. And I want to, you know, sustain some of that. So it's got to be, like, boiling.
Yeah.
But when you're not adding cream and sugar, you're like, damn, this is really hot. You know,
I know we have to think about that when we're steaming milk, too, to get it to like a right temperature, not too hot and hot enough. And one woman came in and she said, it's always too hot. And so I said, OK, I said, well, normally we're going to at least 120 degrees. And she's like, no, it's too hot. And I said, 100. And she said, yeah. Maybe 80, and so I was steaming it, and I was feeling the bottom of the pitcher, and when I got to 60, it was hot on my fingers, so I stopped, and I made it for her, and I said, this is 60, try that, and she said, it's perfect. I said, so when you come back, you just have to remember to tell them, steam my milk to 60 degrees.
Well, and when we were in, so my wife and I went to Mexico, and one of the things that they would do, if they could understand me asking, because they didn't speak English, that's not their fault. That's my problem. But there was a guy, he's like, I would get a coffee, and then I would put a bunch of milk in it, and then I would put sugar cubes in it. You know, cubes, the blocks of sugar I put in it. And then he would take that, and he would steam it. And then he'd give it back to me. The sugar was melted. The cream was all warm. The coffee was super hot. It was delicious.
Wow.
Do you think you could add that service?
I might have.
I mean, what would we call
that?
The steam after? The up and steamer?
I like it.
The up and steamer?
The up and steamer. Steam after.
The steam after. I like that.
I like that,
too. Can we have a business meeting, and maybe we'll call your sister and see if we can get that decision to be made?
Yeah, absolutely.
The steam after. Because I think that if I come in and I get a coffee with cream and sugar and you did the steam after, it would almost leave just as hot as if it was black. I don't see anybody doing that.
I don't either. I'm going to have to try that. When I get to work, I'm going to try that.
I can see hats. The steam after.
The steam after. I love that name. It's a thought, boy. I never thought of that. That's not how they trained us, but because the espresso is hot.
Well, what I liked was that my biggest issue is that, especially like in Mexico or the Dominican, I used to love getting, you know, coffee down in the Dominican, and they have that dark, dark coffee. And then you mix it with that cream, almost half and half, equal parts cream and half coffee. But it would be perfect. And then with like sugar cubes and... But then this guy's like, here, I can steam it up. And I'm like, you can? And it made the cream frothy. It brought the sugar and bonded everything together. And it was super hot. And it was...
That's a great idea.
The steam after.
It's a great idea. It's funny because when they trained us, you know, I'm like, I don't know, I'm a stickler about things. I'm like a details kind of person. So I was like, people would be asking for espresso, cappuccinos, and like a lot of people like cappuccino, but like they either like it wet or they like it dry, which means they like a lot of foam. So
okay.
I started going onto YouTube and I'm like, how to steam milk. And there really is like an art form to it. So, you know, after you steam it, unless it's like a dry cappuccino, you should use non-fat milk because it gets much more foamy. But after you steam it, you like bang the pitcher on the counter and you swirl it. And it should look like wet paint. And by just doing that, banging and swirling it, it just makes it so much richer and creamier. So, you know, I started watching these videos, and I said to the staff, "I want you to watch this, and this is how I want you to steam milk." So it really makes a difference. And apparently, there is a barista school.
There's a whole barista college. I mean, you know, yeah. Seattle is everyone's on tuition in barista school.
Yeah.
To me, so if I owned a little mudslinger place, that would be the stuff I would be taking little videos of, posting on my Facebook page, because now I'm interested in that. You know, there's coffee, and then there's all the different things that kind of come along with coffee.
And, they really are.
You know, the way they decorate the foam and the milk. I mean, it's a whole thing. But I can tell you that when I had that coffee steamed with the cream and the coffee and the sugar cubes, it was a different flavor of coffee that I couldn't get by stirring it with a stick. So it's an option.
I'm absolutely going
to
try
that. And that may be like an option that people start to – they're not doing that at Wawa.
No, that's for sure.
And they're not doing it at Starbucks.
Yeah, that's for sure. I had a guy stop by. A lot of people want to see what it looks like inside. People are fascinated with what the kiosk looks like inside. And he came and he was like, "Oh, you know, I really like your setup." And he has a place in New Jersey, and they do something called pour overs, apparently. And I was like, "I don't even know what that is." And he tried to explain it to me, and I still don't really understand it. But apparently, there's this whole movement of people who like pour-overs. Do you know what pour-overs are?
No.
I know. That's my next...
I'd like it, though.
That's my next thing, so I'm going to go on YouTube.
We don't know what pour-overs are?
No. It's a certain... I think it's a machine, but
it's probably
not...
you're pouring, like, you know, coffee over some volcanic rock, you know, that's been steamed by the earth. That really puts the minerals back in and adds notes to the song.
Maybe, but he said that the young people really like the pour-overs, and I've never heard of anybody here who does pour-overs, so I'll have to look into that and see.
Let's not lose focus.
Okay.
The steam after. Let's not get confused by the pour-over with the steam after.
Steam after. I can't decide if I really like that name. I think that we could come up with...
We don't have to go public yet. We can keep that a secret. Let's keep it on the DL.
And I'm sure you're going to want royalties on that, right?
I absolutely do not want royalties.
Wow.
I want my coffee steamed over. I like that.
All right. Well, I'm going to try it so that when you come, we can make it for you.
Yeah. So we can... I think really the trick is just steaming the coffee with the cream and the milk together. It does. It makes it a little foamier and a little creamier. It is interesting. You have to experiment.
Yeah, I definitely want to experiment with that. And the sugar, that's the only thing I wonder about with the sugar.
Sugar cubes. That's them brown, raw sugar cubes. Right out of the earth.
We don't use sugar cubes. We have a syrup, Monin pure cane sugar.
I do love pure cane syrup.
Yeah,
syrup.
And it's great because it dissolves super well.
Getting all sorts of texts. God, people are bugging me. All right. You know what? We went over an hour.
Wow.
And you thought you had nothing to say.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm going to have you on more.
Because really
we've got things to consider, things to converse about later, like the steam after.
The steam after, we'll see how that goes. I'm going to try it, and then next time you come in, we're going to make you a steam
after. I'm going to have a steam after shirt. And it'll say Mudslingers on the back.
Mudslinger steam after.
So it's Leela.
Leela.
Leela, thank you. I just wanted to go into that Eric Clapton song, but I know it's not the song. And I thought about that earlier, and I said, don't do it. So yeah, I'm not going to do it. It's Leela. Not the same word. It's not the same name. It's Leela.
Yep, and I'm not Leela. I'm Leela. I worked
better
at this
recognize.
Place for years, and this guy called me Leela all the time. And I would correct him all the time and say, it's Leela. And he did it for years and years, and I finally just gave up.
Well, I'm going to try not to.
Okay.
I'm going to try to be Leela.
Leela.
But if I do, it's because I'm old and I forget. Hey, thank you.
Thank
you. I had a blast.
So
thanks
did
for
I.
coming on. And we'll keep chatting, and I'll post this, and go try Mudslingers and ask for the steam after. Wouldn't it be funny if like people started, I need the steam after, please?
Yeah, I'll have to get a whole new menu and everything.
No, we don't want to make trouble. It's a secret. Leela, have a great day. It is an amazing day. Go outside and enjoy it.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed myself.
All right, dear. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.